This is episode 20 of the LogoCast. I'm Michael, and joining me, as every week, we've got Greg and we've got other Michael. This will be our final episode of the year. There are currently no plans to record next week. We've got lots of news going forward. We've got lots of college football stuff. We've got lots of some baseball stuff, some hockey, basketball, even women's soccer. It's also our year-end review, where we're going to talk about some of our favorite and least favorite things from the last 12 months. We're going to talk to Tim Brulia from the Gridiron Uniform Database, and this will be our final episode before we move over to sportslogos.net. And who knows, I might even have a little surprise for you before the end of the show. Greg, why don't you tell them how they can get in touch with us?
Well, you can reach us on the internet at thelogocast.com, on Twitter at thelogocast. You can email us at podcast@thelogocast. Did I get them all? Twitter, email, website? Yeah. You can also follow us individually if you're so inclined. You can just find that via the Tumblr page, which I forgot to mention, which is thelogocast.tumblr.com. Did I get that right, or is it the other way around?
No, you got that right, and then the only one you forgot was Facebook.
Oh, and Facebook, of course. How could I forget Facebook, where so many wonderful things happen every day? Facebook, /LogoCast, the LogoCast, excuse me. So if it's the LogoCast, drop it in a Google search. You will find us. That's how you can reach us. We're very interactive. We like to interact with our listeners, of course. Take your suggestions, comments, whatever you'd like to say about the show. We'd sure love to hear it, so by all means, please hit us up by any one of those multiple social media things, I guess.
First up this week, the Pirates, they released their alternate for this upcoming season. It is based on the 1971 uniforms that they wore up until 76. These are pullovers. It's got the 70s style sleeve stripes, collar stripes, and it's being worn with a new hat, which has a yellow brim, black bill, and the black P on it. And I always loved that hat. I always thought it'd make a great alternate for their current set. I think this is a really good-looking set that is just different enough from their primaries that I'm a fan.
Yeah, I think it looks really nice. The armbands are really cool, and the hat's just so unique because there's no other yellow caps in the MLB, and it'll definitely stand out. Do you guys know if they're doing like the elastic bands and stirrups like they wore in 71?
The pants are said to have the same striping, but I don't know if they're going to be the thicker striping, if they're going to be, because the sleeves look a little more subdued, so it's at least going to be styled the same, but they might update it as far as actual fit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at a picture of Willie Stargell, and I mean, it looks good from back then. I wouldn't want them to see them bring it back full time, because I think there's other things the Pirates could do and look really good, but I mean, for an alternate, I think it's really cool, and they definitely got this one right.
I like it. They did a nice job on it. I like the fact that they went with the pullover, and hopefully they'll do the stirrups with the stripes and the whole bit. But the only problem I have with it is this is another Cooperstown hat that I had that is no longer a Cooperstown hat. Now it looks like I'm just wearing the new Pirates alternate. First the Astros got me, now these guys. But I love it. I'm with Danger, though. I wouldn't want them to go with this as a full-time look. I think that the uniforms they wear now are pretty close to as perfect as you can get. And this is just a nice addition. They're going to do these, I think, on Sundays. Is that what the plan is with these going forward, Sunday games?
Or yes.
Is this just going to be a kind of wear it when we feel like it? But anyway, yeah, it's going to be a cool look. It's tasteful. You know, they certainly could have gone in a more gaudy direction and gone from some of the stuff they wore in the mid to late 70s. But I like it a great deal, and I'm going to be curious to see it on the field in action because it's a real solid look, and it is different enough from their current look. I mean, the colors are even different and everything, so it's going to stand out, and it's going to look pretty good. I'm a big fan of it, too.
From the vintage to the very new school, we have the Cincinnati Bearcats, who are breaking out new helmets for the third consecutive year in their bowl game. And these are kind of wow. Danger, do you want to describe these?
It's like when customizing cars were really cool and you just did like candy red and stupid designs, because that's the first thing that I thought of, just obnoxious cars that are like just it's red with like black streaks and white pinstripes, like stripes on the outside, and they don't look like a football helmet, even for Cincinnati, who's been pretty, I wouldn't say revolutionary, but they've been pretty out there in their design the last couple of years. And yeah, this is just obnoxious. I think one of the biggest things wrong with this is there's an outline on the logo itself, and I think that's one of the logos in the sports universe that really doesn't need an outline. It should just be, they shouldn't have an outline at all and just recolor it based on what background it's on.
I like it. The only thing I don't like about it is the claw marks, I suppose, on the back, coming up from the back of the helmet over the top. But it's and motorcycle riders, I guess, if there are any in our audience, it's a graphite-looking helmet. And that's where you get the pattern from, the graphite patterning underneath it. But the only thing I don't like about it are the claw marks coming up the back. I think the logo looks good with an outline. I like the red. I like the pattern, the graphite pattern in it. And, again, take away those crazy claw stripes, which I just think that looks silly. I'm never a fan of when a team tries to manifest what they're supposed to be through their uniform, like with claw stripes or, you know, a lightning bolt or whatever, that kind of thing. Like, you know, like what the Lightning used to do with the lightning bolts down their sleeves and all that. I've always thought that looked kind of silly. But other than that, I think it looks pretty cool. I like the color. I like the graphite pattern, and I'm okay with the outline around the logo. So I'm a fan of it to a point.
I'll lead kind of with this about their whole general identity. Is there any aspect of a sports logo that's more pointless than the bar underneath their C?
No.
It doesn't care. There's no purpose to it. It's just, it's there. As if you're going to confuse them for another C with paws, with that's shaped in a paw.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that.
And I'll just say this. So this is actually came from my wife. So if they decide to do something like this later on, I guess she gets the credit. But my wife was like, she thought it was all too much. And she's like, you know, if you're going to work in the stripes, the slash stripes, why not work them in over the logo and then feature the logo in a negative color whenever it crosses over? So it'd look like somebody's actually scratching into the C, and then like where it crosses over, the C would be white on the black background. But overall, these are too much. I mean, there is from the carbon pattern to the candy apple finish to the claw stripes it's kind of the same thing we've been talking about lately, as far as so many teams just throwing every idea they have into the basket, as opposed to doing a little self-editing before they get to the final product. So it's very much like that. And that's my biggest issue with it.
Well, it's just like with their brand, normally the bar underneath it's different, like a different color depending on what the C is, and making them the same color is just, it just doesn't make sense to match with anything. And that's probably my biggest problem, because there's no consistency with the Bearcats.
Again, like I said, I actually, and we'll talk more about this when we get into the year in review stuff, but I actually like the graphite slash carbon pattern in the helmet. I think it just adds a new element to football helmet design, which I think is good. The block under the C is pointless, but I'm just so used to it that I don't even notice it anymore. But my only real issue with it are the claw marks on it. I just think that's just dumb.
From there,
who would win in a fight, a Bearcat or a Nittany Lion?
A Hokie.
I'm putting my money on the Bearcat, I think.
But I mentioned, as far as fairly nonsensical college names, the Hokies. So I guess that's as good as a segue as any. They're going Matt for their bowl. How many helmets is that this season?
I think we're at 72.
Okay, and according to Paul Lucas, the team is not sure if what they're going to put on the sides of them yet. It's just new helmet, got to wear it, got to show it off on Twitter.
Well, they have a lot of choices. They've got the footprint, the bird itself. They've got the VT. So I'd say go with all of it. You know, take it all the way.
On one side, on the other side, blank.
Yeah, have all They'll three logos on one side, and the other side's completely blank. What do you guys think about the Matt look?
I think in this case, I don't think it matches there. I think it looks more purple as opposed to the dark maroon. And it might just be the lighting in the photo, but it doesn't, the color seems off.
I think that with the matte helmets too, you have to really be careful, because if you've got a bright look, and Virginia Tech kind of has a bright look, even with the maroon and all that, it's still a bright color scheme. The matte helmet can really throw that off. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. What do you think, Danger?
I think that if they put the VT on the side, it'll be a pretty good look, just because I think the matte when done right is good. But when you start putting like helmet stripes and stuff that clash with it, I think it just definitely brings the quality down. But they've had so many bad helmets this year, and I think if they just go simple with this, they could get away with it. But needless to say, they're the original helmet that they've worn for like 20 years or whatever. I think those were the way to go, but this isn't too bad.
I just wonder why a team like Virginia Tech, that when they just wear their normal primary uniforms, looks so good, why they feel this need to constantly tinker with that look. I just don't understand that.
God only knows.
Should we move on to Michigan?
Yeah, go ahead, since you're the Michigan fan here.
That's right. Me and my Michigan Wolverines. That's right. The Wolverines are in the, Outback Bowl this year? Yeah, Michigan's going to be in the Outback Bowl, and they are wearing a new jersey for this. It is basically kind of a take on the ones they wore earlier in the year with the yellow shoulders, except this time it's blue with the big M on the sleeve and the maize numbers outlined in blue. And I remember when the first version of this came out with the yellow on the shoulders, I thought it was going to look really good. And then I saw it on the field, and it was terrible. And seeing this, I'm thinking that this was probably the direction they should have gone with the first time. I think this has got a lot of potential. I like it on the mannequin, and I'll be curious to see how it looks in the games. But I like the idea, and basically it's going to come down to whether it works in practical application or not. But as it stands right now, I think it's got potential, and it's going to look pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with that. They definitely got it right with the yellow with outlined by navy, because it wouldn't work the other way. I'd be perfectly okay if this was their normal road, because there's a lot of navy to contrast the white, and the yellow still finds a way to pop. The matte helmet, which I don't think you mentioned, it's okay. It's still the same basic design that Michigan's been having since, I don't even know, since the first helmet design. And, I mean, there's nothing really off about this, but it's definitely different, and it looks really good.
See, I couldn't tell if it was a mad helmet or if just the picture was dark, so they are going with a mad helmet.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I'm crazy about that, but I like the jersey a lot. What do you think, Mike?
I am not very sold on it. I think that the matte helmet could look good, but there's something weird about the balance of the jersey. It's like from the very top of the numbers up, there's so much blue compared to the yellow. And then down, it's all yellow with very little blue. And it's just looking at it all as a package, there's something that feels off, and makes me think it's going to look very unbalanced on the field.
That's a distinct possibility, because when they did the yellow version of this, I thought that that would provide a nice balance, but it really didn't. It made it look really top-heavy, I think. It looked almost like too much. So I'll be curious to see if you're right about that. I'm looking at this thinking this might be the antidote to what was wrong with the last one, but I'm going to be curious to see these in action. Again, like with most things that we do on the show, you know, looking at it on a mannequin, it's tough to get a real good feel for how it's going to turn out when they go on the field with it. But right now I'm optimistic about this, but I do think that your issue with it is certainly may come into play, so we'll have to see.
And they're playing South Carolina, I think. So this game does have potential to be a dumpster fire.
Well, we know South Carolina is going to show up looking good, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Rice University is in the Armed Forces Bowl. So naturally, they're going to do a patriotic-themed helmet. We've seen this countless number of times this year. The Rice old style R is an American flag, and then the helmet stripe is also an American flag. And the thing that I find most wrong is the helmet stripe, like the flag is waving, the lines don't line up, and it just looks really bad. I think they could have just wore a white helmet stripe and gotten away with it with the American flag R. But they're in the Armed Forces Bowl, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're also playing a academy school.
They are playing Air Force.
Okay, yeah. So it's one of those. It's like, all right, I wouldn't wear it against this team, but I think it's just I've become so immune to being shocked by these because it seems like every episode we would just talk about, oh, they're wearing an American flag on the side of their helmet.
I think that as far as the schools that are wearing the American flag ones, this actually at least fits the colors a little better than, say, North Carolina, Iowa. God only knows the schools that have done it that aren't even coming to mind at the moment. Bowling Green. Oh, we can tie that in, I guess. Bowling Green's also doing an American one for the Military Bowl, which is in fact a different thing than the Armed Forces Bowl.
They're playing that on a naval ship, right?
I don't think so, because it's a football game.
They are. That'd be.
I was about to say, it's like, wait, is that even possible? Is that bad that that's just feasible enough for me to consider it for a second?
Oh, not at all. I thought, well, I just thought, well, to put up big nets along the side of the, you know, so people don't fall off the ship. I was right there. It didn't seem shocking to me at all.
Yeah, I mean,
I think one's in D.C. and one's in, like, Dallas or something.
Yeah, the Armed Forces Bowl is in Texas somewhere. As I said, it works a little better than those. It's still not particularly good. It's in Fort Worth.
Okay, but yeah.
I don't know. It all feels a little bit unnecessary. I mean, if you were the Rice American Flags, if that was your team name, this would probably be a very good helmet. But you're the Rice Owls.
How about we do this? How about we just go on the base assumption that everybody's patriotic and there's no need to remind us of that. And until you tell us you aren't, we'll just assume that you are, and you can stop putting flag stickers and stripes on your helmets. And that would solve a lot of these issues, because this is just more of the same. And like Danger pointed out, we have talked about this, it seems, ad nauseum at this point on these teams with their stars and stripes helmets and their camo military uniforms and the whole bit. I get what you're trying to do, but like I said, let's just assume for the sake of time, space, and everything else that we're all patriotic until noted otherwise. And but again, of all the ones that we've seen so far, these aren't the worst. At least it kind of works with the color scheme. The helmet stripe is wavy, and I get what they're going for with that, but it looks like it was put on wrong. But yeah, more of the same. You know, not as bad as a lot of the other ones we've seen, but enough is enough already. And hopefully when we get to this time of year next year on the show, we won't be talking about this stuff then. I mean, hopefully this trend is finally playing itself out. but I'm not holding out a lot of hope that it is.
Up next, we've got Tulane, who's apparently going to go with new jerseys next year. The jerseys aren't available, but via Instagram, one of their players posted a link to all the new jerseys. I wrote about this in the thing. There's one purely new look, something that we'd never seen before. It is a sky blue helmet with the modern Tulane tee. They also have their current helmet that they've been wearing and two throwback helmets, one from the 80s and one from the, I believe one was from the 70s. One was from 83 to 83, 84, and one was from 89 to 91 and 95 to 96. So what do you guys think?
I really like the helmets, or the new ones at least. The sky blue one looks pretty good, and as far as throwbacks go, the two ones on the right look, they're okay. It's basically what I would expect if I heard they were throwing back. And the one with the UT looks like a Toledo's one that they wore this year. It's basically like the same design.
I'm not really feeling any of these, to be honest with you. The sky blue one in particular, I'd have to see that with the uniform. I think that helmet with a green jersey would be a real mistake. Maybe it works with the white, but not a lot of contrast there either. I mean, it's I'm not liking the light blue one at all. The first throwback is okay, except I'm not crazy about the looks like a clip art wave to illustrate the green wave part of their title or their team name. And the one that the UT one is actually probably the one I like the best of the throwbacks or the new ones. But like Danger said, it is very derivative of what the University of Toledo has already done. It's just kind of a different color scheme. So I'm not real big on all of these. I will certainly reserve judgment until I see them in action. But with the light blue being such a just a complementary color in their color scheme, I don't see how having a helmet entirely in that color, I just don't see it working with the rest of their sets.
I actually really like the sky blue. I think that it's such a unique look for a helmet that it might not work with what they're currently wearing, but it's in school colors, and I think that if they're introducing something like that, they might be maybe going with some blue pants or a blue jersey or something that will really give it, pair it up with something. So as far as that goes, just on a helmet basis, I think it looks really cool. I'm a fan overall. The throwbacks, I like the TU one more than the other one just because even though it's an older look, I think it's a little less dated. The other one is very 90s, and as you mentioned, Greg, the clip art wave, it just kind of, it doesn't really, I don't see any reason for them to have that and their current look because it's the same idea. It's just the current one is executed so much better.
Yeah, I agree with you on the clip art thing. And also with the light blue helmet, I want to retract or back up a little bit. It's not that I don't like it. I think that based on thinking of it with their current uniform sets, I can't think of a way it would work. But like you said, if they bring in some color elements into their uniform to make it work with that helmet, I think it could look really good because you're right. It's a color that's not used often. It will be very unique, but they just have to be very careful with the execution of it because if they come out with that thing in a green jersey and their normal look, I don't think it'll work. But if done correctly, it could really look nice. So I want to just kind of back up and restate that and kind of change my initial opinion of it.
In large part, and this is obviously contingent on it working well in the styles of the uniforms being complementary to the jersey and everything, but let's say they wear it with a green jersey, but they bust out pants that match the helmet. You know, that to me would just be like, it's kind of like whenever one of the times Virginia Tech gets the alternates right, and if they orange and orange with the maroon jersey, it's two dark colors, but there's just such a uniqueness about it that I think it would look tremendous.
All right, so the St. Lucie Mets that are in the Single-A Florida State League, they rebranded, and from what they've leaked, I think it's a lateral movement. I feel like they should have just rebranded with new names, and apparently they considered the squid, the sand sharks, and the salamanders. But they rebranded into the St. Lucie Mets, and basically now it says St. Lucie Mets on like a wood block with a gradient sun and a palm tree. It looks like a beach bar or a sun tan lotion kind of logo, but I'm not a fan. They should have rebranded, but I think this is a step in the wrong direction when there's teams in the league like Daytona Cubs. They rebranded from logo similar to the major league team to a completely new identity for their own team. And I think that's if the Mets really wanted to keep the same name, they should have done something like that instead of basically having the old same Mets script and same basic cap logo. But I'm not feeling these, and I don't know. How do you guys feel about them?
I don't hate them. Is it my favorite thing in the world? I mean, no, but I kind of like the primary logo. I fully understand that it kind of looks like a sunscreen logo, but I think there's some charm there. I think it's kind of, I like the orange as a primary compared to the blue. The gradient could probably go, but it's not. I mean, the one gradient there with the sun, it's relatively inoffensive. As goofy as it is, I kind of like the remade Mr. Met. The jerseys and everything kind of suck. Few too many outlines. There's no real color balance in the set, considering that they're orange dominant, both blue hats. But the logos themselves, they're not my favorite, but they're not bad.
I like it. I like it a lot. And I like it for a lot of the reasons that Danger doesn't. Because to me, this thing just screams Florida. And I think that's what they were going for with this. It does. It looks exactly like a sign you would see at a bar on a beach somewhere or on a bottle of sunscreen or whatever. And I think that's what they were going for. And if that's what they wanted to do, they hit it right out of the park with the logo. It's got that, it's just got a Florida look to it. And that's what I think is cool about it. Is it the best baseball logo in the world? No, but I think it's certainly an improvement over what they were using before. And if they were going for the, we want to look like a coastal Florida team, they nailed it with this. Mr. Met in his Hawaiian shirt and his glasses, that's a pretty neat touch with the shorts and sandals and everything is cool. Yeah, you know, the uniforms, you got to do orange the right way. And I don't know that I'm real crazy about the orange sleeves on the vest look. But I've seen worse. But as far as the logo goes, I really like it. And just for the reasons that it does say Florida so strongly, it really, really makes a connection with Florida, where they are. And if that's what they were going for, they really nailed it with this. So I'm a fan of it. I like it a lot.
I remember back in the probably around 2000, 2003-ish, I want to say, the only team that wasn't named after the major league team was Jupiter. And since then, the Threshers have came along, the Bradenton Marauders, the Manatees, the Stone Crabs, they all have started to go forward with their own identity and being unique. And I feel like this is just a step back. No other team named the Mets has a logo like this, but I think they should have done more to make it seem modern. Or not like modern, but just what we consider good in today's standards for minor league teams. I mean, yes, it does say Florida, but I think they should have done it in a way where they could keep this logo for a long time and not have to touch it, because in a few years, this is going to seem very outdated more than it does now.
Oh, see, I think you're thinking outdated in terms of, I'm thinking that this harkens back to the 60s in Florida and back before all the beaches and everything became, you know, were taken over by conglomerates and all that. And I think that this is, it harkens back to that. I think this logo holds up because this is Florida. This is what it looks like. And I like the fact that, and I think I've said this before, that, you know, we've gotten so far down the road with these minor league identities, going with, you know, all the Thundercat type names and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of nice to see a team, I'm not saying I recommend it for everybody, but every once in a while, a team sticking with their major league affiliation, and they may have a very strong marketing reason for that, that there are, you know, there's a lot of transplants in Florida, as you know, Danger, and maybe these people want a connection back to New York where they're from. I don't know, but I don't have a problem with them remaining the Mets. I think that they did a good job and worked with what they had to work with and did a pretty nice job with it.
That was actually something that I was about to bring up, is just the difference between the Florida State League and the other high A leagues, the Carolina League and the Cal League. In California, the only team at all that carries their parent team's moniker is the San Jose Giants. And I have a feeling a lot of that has to do with the reason why they're not letting Oakland push in there. It's all about branding and trying to stake their category. The Carolina League, there are only two, the Potomac Nationals and the Salem Red Sox. And of those, really only Potomac makes much sense, because I doubt Boston has a big Virginia fan base, all things considered, you know, playing in the same state as one of their divisional rivals. But and then the Florida State League, there are so many teams that don't have their own identity, basically. So it is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, five teams with the parent club name, those, they all play where the parent club spring trains. So, I mean, it makes sense, but I think rebranding as its own entity, they should do stuff. Like Tampa Yankees, they've been Tampa Yankees forever, but I think if they went with one of the team names that Tampa's had and like the 60 years they've had minor league baseball in the city, I think that would be cool. Like, I've done the Tarpons concept, and if they did something like, I don't even know, like there's just countless number of names they could go with, but they're staying with Tampa to tie in with the spring training team. I mean, it makes sense, yes, but I'm not the biggest fan of keeping the major league team name.
This week on Twitter, the AAA Charlotte Knights have been asking their fans if they want to keep the Knights name or if they want to change the name and rebrand everything. There's not a lot past that on this story, but I thought it was something worth discussing. How much brand power do minor league teams have in this kind of situation? I mean, the Knights have never been one of the big merchandise ones. You could argue that their current set is a little outdated. In that situation, is it better to start from scratch, or is it better to just redesign what you have? Is it worth it?
In my case on this, I'm saying start from scratch. I have never liked the Charlotte Knights identity. I always thought it was a very weak choice for a name right from the get-go, and I would love to see them just redo the whole thing from the bottom up. That's my opinion on it. It's not a good name. It's not a good identity. And to me, the name, the Charlotte Knights, it just doesn't have that, whatever it is that we look for in a name that draws you to that team. Like, say, you know, you're in Argentina, Danger's in Florida, I'm in Ohio. We all love the Montgomery Biscuits. And the Knights just don't have that quality. They don't have the quality of a name or a team that just draws you in. They're just boring. And Charlotte Knights is like, we use this analogy a lot on the show. If you did a movie about a minor league baseball team, they'd be called the Charlotte Knights, and that's what they'd look like. So I think they start from scratch and do it all over again.
Yeah, I feel like new downtown stadium, new state, actually, the current stadium they built on South Carolina side. So this, I feel like this is a good enough time to just rebrand themselves and just be able to draw fans. Charlotte's a really big city. It's the biggest city in North Carolina, and that name's been bounced around for expansion or relocation for baseball forever. The Knights is just a generic name. It's a high school name that half high schools in the country use, and I think they could really go with something cool, like a cool name like the Bobcats or the Hornets. Or you'll probably see them end up with either some kind of like a Queen City sort of moniker, or maybe like a NASCAR theme, but I really hope they rebrand, because it's one of the lower logos in all of minor league baseball.
We've all made our opinions on the Hornets possibly returning, very well known in previous episodes. But hasn't the Charlotte market kind of gotten boned whenever it comes to team names, especially like in this kind of go around? The Panthers is not really a good team name. I mean, with Carolina, it might have a little more meaning, but still, if you're a Charlotte person, whenever you try to brand regionally, I have a feeling that sometimes the local people get a little lost out of it because it's really not Carolina's team. It's Charlotte's team. And then the Bobcats, which none of us are big fans of, and we've all talked about that it wouldn't be a terrible thing if they rebranded just, you know, not to the Hornets because the Hornets are in New Orleans. The Bobcat is just a terrible name, too, and it's just there's I don't know. Is there no personality in that city?
I just think that if there's a team out there right now that needs a goofy name, Pine Forest Weeble upgrade, rebrand, it's the Charlotte Knights. I think that it just screams. And there's plenty of things in Charlotte to go with. You know, I don't know if I'm crazy about a NASCAR-themed team, especially when you've got the Kannapolis Intimidators, I believe they're called, just down the road.
Yeah.
So I hope they don't go that route. But there are – somebody needs to come in and fix this because the Knights is – like I said, it has – no appeal. It has nothing that draws me in that wants to watch this team. Not like the Biscuits or some of the other cool names that are out there. But, you know, and I don't think go the Pine Forest Weevil route either. I think come up with a cool thing like Biscuits. You know, get some of the whimsy that Mike talks about in minor league. And this team is in desperate need of it because the Knights is just boring. And it is Charlotte's team. They don't have to worry about satisfying the entire state of North Carolina or South Carolina with this. It's their team. They did that with the Panthers. They do that with their colleges. This is Charlotte's baseball team, so let's do a Charlotte name, a Charlotte identity, and get rid of this sad, generic, worn-out, tired identity and go with something cool. While I do have a little bit of the Pine Forest Weeble fatigue with these names, I think that this is a case where I'll give them a pass and say, come up, give me the new Montgomery Biscuits here. That's what I'd like to see happen.
Over the summer, the Peoria Rivermen of the HL did a fan design the jersey contest, and this last weekend they were actually worn. I'm not a big fan of the jersey design, but I did think it was worthwhile to point out. The jersey has an anchor, a rope, a wheel on it with the Rivermen script. It's a little cluttered for my taste, but I've definitely seen worse things when fan-voted contests.
I feel like the anchor and the wheel and the rope just feels kind of clip-arty. Like those are – like each one could be an aspect used for a rebrand for the Mariners. I don't like that the logo itself goes over the yellow stripe, but – jersey-wise, I think the yoke piping and the overall stripes, it's not a bad jersey design, but I feel like they could have done something better with the logo itself.
I'm with you. I like the jersey itself. The weakest thing on it is the logo. It's busy, cluttered. I don't like the Rivermen. It's just really uninspired, and the rest of the jersey looks fantastic. Take the logo off and try again. And you got something, but that logo is just is too much going on. The anchor, the rope, the wheel, the whole bit. You know, pick one and go with it.
There we go to the San Antonio Rampage, who a couple weeks ago did a Salute to the Badges night. And I actually really like this one. It's the crest of the jersey is designed like a police badge. It appears they actually have the badges on their shoulders, but it's a good, judging from the front and everything, it's a very well done jersey itself. I love the colors involved. It's kind of got a vintage white, it's a navy blue with some red. And then the actual, as I said, the logo, I think it does a really good idea, a really good way of kind of combining what you're tributing and your team's current identity.
I think the best part about this is the horns on the Rampage logo on the crest are blue and red like a police car. I think that's actually really funny. Yeah, the jersey itself's really nice. It's basically the same colors as the New York Rangers alternate that they wore a few times this year, I think. And that was one of the best looks in the league. But yeah, it's, I mean, it doesn't really match, but I think they did it in a really classy way as a one-off jersey. And I think the Rampage definitely did this one good.
Yeah, this is very well done, classy. They didn't go overboard with it, as we've seen happen a lot with tribute jerseys this past year. The design, I believe, is taken off the sleeve patches that like police departments wear, so they did a nice job with that. And I'm with Danger. The touch of the red and blue on the horns is a really neat little addition to it. And the whole color scheme works, and just a well-done, well-executed, tasteful tribute. These guys got it right, and I think that they should be lesson one when teams want to do a tribute. They should look at jerseys like this or like Kitchener that we talked about a few weeks back. This is how you do it right, and this is the way it should be done. So I think it looks good. It was well done and tasteful, and that's all you can ask for. Moving over to college basketball, my Ohio State Buckeyes will be unveiling a new basketball court at the beginning of the year. And this one is an interesting design, to say the least. They've taken the state of Ohio and kind of silhouetted it around the Ohio State logo at the middle of the court. And I think that it doesn't look half bad. What do you guys think?
I think it's definitely an upgrade. I was looking at some photos of their prior court, and it definitely, I do think it's an upgrade. I really like the wood pattern they have here and the staining and everything. It's got a little bit of personality, but it's not something that's going to point a lot of attention to itself. It looks like the boards are a little bit smaller than you typically see. And then there's a little bit more of a darker wood mixed in. But I could have used a little bit more color, particularly in the paint. But overall, yeah, I think it looks good. I really like the stained Ohio State outline.
It's definitely a really good look. I like when the biggest team in each state put the state outline. It sort of marks their territory. Like UNC has theirs, Texas has theirs. And I think it's really fitting for Ohio State to have this. I like the wood stain. I like the wood stained Big Ten logo. And there's enough red to get away with it. And I think they definitely got this one right. I think this is the second or third week in a row we've had soccer on the show, so that's awesome. But the eighth and final team in the women's new professional soccer league released their logo. The Seattle Reign, spelled R-E-I-G-N, they released their logos last night. They went with like a crown motif and a queen-looking figure on a crest, and I think it's a really nicely designed logo. I really like the brand that they have here. I wish they would have put some electric green, but they aren't associated with the Seattle Sounders soccer team. I think they definitely got this right, and yeah, the Pacific Northwest definitely has the best two looks out of any of the whole league.
Looks like the Starbucks logo, only kind of pissed off.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, it's easily the best rendered logo in the league. It's the only one where it seems like they really took the branding into account with them having the secondary marks and things that kind of stand apart on their own. And it does kind of feel like the color scheme could have used something a little more. I'm not sure about black. I've said it before that I like black, royal blue, and silver, but I think that the blue needs to be a little more prevalent. I don't think it works as much as a trim as it appears to be here. But, yeah, it's definitely easily the cream of that very low crop.
It's well done. The color scheme works. It's easily the best of the three we've seen out of this league. But I see it, it reminds me of a deck of cards. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I understand that it's a women's soccer team, but I can't say I'm crazy about it. It seems a little obvious to me, but I like the secondary marker a lot, the circle with the crown inside. I'm not really feeling the queen look here on the main, the primary logo. It has a tarot card, Queen of Hearts feel to it, but that's okay. I'm not going to be watching them anyway, so.
We're doing our year in review, as we kind of mentioned that we'd be doing last week. And we've got three categories that we're going to talk about here and kind of give our own thoughts and go a little back and forth. But first up is our rebrand of the year. Mine was actually one that I wasn't real sold on whenever I first saw it, but it's grown on me quite a bit. That would be the new Brooklyn Nets. I think it's just such a stripped down, simple look, and everything complements themselves really well. I'm still not sold on the numbers on their look and the nameplate font. It's like it's similar to the front font, but it's different because it matches some of the other NBA teams. And that's like my only real issues with the look. But overall, it's such an upgrade over what they're wearing in New Jersey. And it's just a simple, straightforward basketball set that I think could be very timeless.
This one I had to ask if the other guys had it, because this was so good and so highly praised. But Toronto Blue Jays, since the first year they wore their new set was this year, I figured I'd include them. I didn't hate the like graphite set that they had before, but this new set with the new modernized Blue Jay, and they got it absolutely perfect, and they could never, if they change their uniform set and logo set anytime in the next like 30 years, they'd just be doing something really stupid. It's that good.
I agree with you on that, Danger. That was definitely one of the top rebrands of the year, and they couldn't have gotten it more right. I mean, there's not a thing you can say bad about it. It's perfect. It's a perfect baseball uniform, and I think they went from having the worst look in Major League Baseball with those old graphite. Those things were horrible. It was a mismatch of a bunch of bad ideas. They moved to these and moved right up to the top tier of baseball uniforms. Mike, with the Nets, yeah, I can see where you're coming from with it. I like it, but I don't know if I'd put it at the very top, but still a good choice. And now I'm going to give you mine, which I think goes off the board a little bit, off the grid just a bit. We said best rebrand. We didn't specify if it had to be a uniform or whatever. So I thought, well, you know, looking through all the stuff we've had, and I went through all the shows we've done, all 19 prior to this, and the one that I came up with that I thought was the best rebrand of the year was SB Nation and Frazier Davidson and what he did. I thought that to do that many logos as well as he did all of them, I thought that had to be it. The top rebrand of the year for me is the SB Nation overhaul that Frazier did. You know, we did a whole show on our favorites from that, and he knocked it out of the park in a way that I've never seen a graphic artist to do it with so much work and being so right on every single one of them. So that's mine. My top rebrand of the year is the SB Nation overhaul.
That actually crossed my mind, but yeah, he did so good with all of them, and they're all unique and different from the ones that the pro team uses. And as far as the Nets, I was watching Knicks Nets last night, and I was just thinking how good both teams looked, actually. Like I take back of what all the bad things I said about the Knicks, because they definitely did their new uniforms right too.
All right, and for every yin there has to be a yang. For your worst rebrand of the year,
mine was real easy, and there were worse uniforms. There were probably worse one-offs. There were a lot of things that were worse, but as an overall rebrand, I went with the Seattle Seahawks. I think they took what was a great look and then decided to change it, came up with what I thought was a really solid color scheme, and then botched every aspect of it they could come up with by trying to throw too many extras into it, trying to be too many things to too many people. They had a great idea, and they just overdid it. And I think this uniform could have been good, but it wasn't. And now it just looks like a disaster. That I just, every time I see that uniform, I think, wow, what could have been, what they used to have, and now I see what they've done with this. So the Seahawks wasn't even a real question for me. They were right. The minute I knew we were doing this, they immediately sprang to mind, and I said, that's it. Seattle Seahawks got to be my worst of the year.
Yeah, that's who I had too until I remembered my worst, which is the Hudson Valley Renegades.
They were actually in the running with me.
Yeah, I remember I was in class, and before class, I was reading Twitter, and I came across just like, hey, the Hudson Valley Renegades new logo, and I looked, and I was just, oh, those are so bad. They look so unprofessional, and like the best, like we said, the best logo in the whole set was just a recolored logo from the previous set. So, yeah, they really brought it down to a whole level that should never be touched in rebranding.
All right. Mine was one I went back and forth on a few. There are obviously in this thing, there are no shortage of candidates. Like I considered, not necessarily because they all look bad, but just because there are so many, the fightins, the red and fightins. But I'm going with the college football here. I'm going with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and their bubble look that is supposed to be honeycomb, but it's not honeycomb, it's bubbles.
It sure is.
And, you know, the helixes and everything else, and it's just an over-designed, over-everything mess that did not have a single combination that looked good. And, yeah, I've nothing good to say about this set whatsoever.
Should we move on to, what are we up to, one-offs?
Yep. Now, we talked about this a little bit beforehand. Best one-off isn't necessarily one that was only worn once, because at times, even things that are really a one-off, these are drastic changes, might end up getting worn again. There was one I was considering for the worst that was about to get worn again, but my best was only worn once, and that was from this year's Army-Navy game. I'm going with Navy. The wide numbers that reflect the fighter planes, I said it before, I really liked them at the time, but the thing that just went from a really nice uniform to one of my favorite ones ever is the seam striping with the anchor on them. I mean, it's like, you see that? It's like, holy crap, that is genius. And it adds so much to the jersey that you never would have expected. And, oh, I love these. And I want to buy a jersey.
That was actually at the top of my list, and it was a real tough call for me because I was going to go with Navy myself, and I really went back and forth with this quite a bit before I finally decided I had to settle on the one that, and as great as Navy was, and it was great, there's no question about it, I decided to go with the Toledo Walleye and the Captain America jerseys just because they were just so off the wall. And I guess kind of unexpected, although in a year where we had the Avengers movie and all that, but just to see a hockey team wearing Captain America jerseys, I thought, okay, I'm going to go with the Walleye because that one to me just, it had a little more of the whimsy that we like to talk about. It was a little bit more fun. Navy was awesome, but I decided at the end of the day that to me, the Toledo Walleye and the Captain America jerseys had to be my best one-off.
Yeah, mine, we also talked about, it was the Kitchener Rangers Canadian Royal Navy uniform. It looked so good. It had a really dark navy and a like a off colored eggshell white, and it we liked it so much, and that's just what stuck with me when I was going through all the photos that we posted, and that one just stuck out with me, and I can't wait to see it on the ice, and I think that could be a full-time look, and I would love it every single day of the year.
Yeah, we talked about that one back then. It was just so well done and so well executed, and we used it as an example of how if you're going to do a tribute jersey, that's the route you should go. So I think that was a great choice on your end, Danger. Nice call.
I think in this case, these in particular, there were no bad choices because there were a lot of really good ones. Whenever you're being kind of adventurous in design, particularly just for one game, there are some that work under that guise. There are some that you could wear every day and they'd always look good. But, you know, there are some where they can really screw up. And I guess that's where we're going to go now with our worst one-off of the year. So, Mike, why don't you take the lead?
This one, we made fun of so much, and I think everyone's going to agree with me when I say the Los Ice Hogs jersey that the Rockford Ice Hogs wore, that might be one of the worst one-offs in the history of hockey. It's just gradiented, like, gradiented poncho jerseys with a racist hog with a mustache, with a Danny Trejo mustache and a sombrero, and the numbers actually had sombreros on top of them. It was just, it was bad.
All right. My worst one off of the year wasn't quite that gaudy and offensive, but it was still really, really bad. And that was South Carolina, and probably the biggest game in their football program's history, wearing G.I. Joe uniforms with gray camo all over the pants, gray camo, gray shirt, gray camo undershirt. And it's just, it's such an ugly mess. And that's a big thing. I mean, there's bad design that can sometimes be forgiven because the colors work and everything. But this is just horrifically ugly. And once again, it's not offensively ugly. It's just, you look at it and there's no appeal there whatsoever. I mean, with the Ice Hogs, at least there is the so bad it's good kind of perspective on it. With this, it's just bad.
Yeah, with the Ice Hogs. Like, oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, I'm looking at them, and I think I said this on the show, but if they wore white pants, like, that would have been a really good look. And they just decided to wear camouflage pants and just look like absolute crap.
The thing with the Ice Hogs, I mean, as bad as it was, there was still, you could laugh at it. You know, you could have a little fun with it. And with South Carolina, that was just butt ugly. And there was just no two ways about it. And you, like you said, there were some things that might have saved it, but it just ended up in the end of the day just being awful and ugly, and there's not much more you can say about it.
Well, how about you? What do you think is the worst one off?
Man, I had a tough time with this one because I'm going to give you a couple that I thought were strong in the running. I thought that Boston College and that Stars and Stripes disaster of theirs was definitely in the running. The Colorado Sky Sox, and I'm sure we all thought about that one with the firemen and the policemen being consumed by flames, had to be in the mix. But I decided to go with one that was not a one-off for just one team, but both. And I chose Wisconsin-Nebraska, and the W is for football from that episode that we did. And I just thought Nebraska really stole the show with that, although both uniforms are really bad. I had to go with the one that where both teams just looked ridiculous, and I picked that one as my worst one-off because it was one of the few I could find where both teams were in on it, and that's why I went with it.
All right, and now let's really kind of head into the trend here. For me, the best trend of the year is the embracing of teams to how they should look. You look at teams like the Blue Jays. You look at teams like the Mets, teams that make all the right decisions by getting away from bad design choices and going back to the way they should be. So that's my top trend of the year. What about you guys?
I went off the board a little bit, and I have a warning with this one. Like, this is when it's done right. But when, like, the dark gray that teams have introduced more and more, I think looks like TCU and Washington State. I think that's such a good look when they do it right. And I like that more teams are introducing it into their sets. Doesn't mean they've done it right, but I think that's definitely a trend that I could see lasting if more teams start doing it right.
And mine, and this is something that has really been hit or miss all season, but I think the hits have really hit and the misses have really missed, but I still like the direction and the creativity that's going into it. I like the trend of helmet design. I like that the mad helmets. I'm liking seeing like some of the stuff like TCU did with the pattern helmets and even the graphite carbon/based helmet that Cincinnati did. I like the creativity that's starting to go into helmet design. I thought was a neat trend. Now, granted, there have been a lot of times where they've missed the mark by a pretty big margin, but we've seen teams like OU with the Mad Helmet get it right. And we saw TCU come out with a helmet that I thought turned out really well. So that would be mine, is that helmet design. And it's still kind of in that stage where there's a stumble here and a couple good ones, a few more stumbles. But overall, I like the direction that we're seeing, and I'm liking a lot of the stuff that we've seen HGI come out with. So I'm going to go with helmet design in football as a cool trend that I think once they figure it out and start getting it right is going to be something that'll really be neat to see as it develops over the years.
All right, and for our worst trend, for me, it's Chrome. It's just, to me, I mean, it whenever it works, it really works. But you look at, like, the North Carolina, you look at Michigan State, you look at all these other teams, they're just forcing it in there. And whenever it works, it works. But whenever it doesn't work, it's just terrible. It is so, there's nothing redeeming about it, and it's such an obvious look at a trend, and God.
You want to add anything to that, Danger?
Not anything else, because it's actually mine. The helmet that I thought of was UNC's with the giant foot on it. That was really bad. The only Chrome helmet I can think that was actually all right was Oregon, and they were the first ones to do that. So it's just – and it's because I'm a fan of the exact opposite. I love matte helmets, and Chrome are just too shiny, and they just reflect light, and they're never really – like, you'll never see a subdued design with a Chrome helmet. Like, you wouldn't see – like a Chrome helmet with like a Texas Longhorn. You'll see like a Chrome helmet with giant Longhorn horns and a State of Texas on the back. Like, that's just not how it works. Chrome helmets are like, every time they've been used, it's just way over the top and unnecessary.
And that brings me to my worst trend, which is something that's been a theme that's run throughout the show throughout college football season. And that is the move by everyone who could come up with even the most remote excuse for doing it, going with either camouflage or some sort of military theme to their uniforms. And I thought that at best, it looked okay. At worst, it was insulting. And it was just a trend that I hope goes away quickly. I think that we saw it hit its absolute nadir when we saw teams wearing their G.I. Joe outfits against real service academies. I don't remember the game, but it's just something that's just got to stop. We get it. And like I said, let's just, with the Rice helmet, let's just assume for a minute that everybody supports the military until notified otherwise. Let's drop all this camouflage and military stuff from college football.
Yeah, the only real time that those have ever really worked for me, the heavy military stuff in particular, is whenever the actual service academies do it. Army, Navy taking inspiration from their active troops and from military symbols can look absolutely incredible. The first time we really saw that almost kind of started the camo stuff was that amazing Army and Army Navy game where Army busted out the helmet and the pants and the numbers on the black jersey were camo. And for them, it works, but it should be for them.
And for them only. And that's it. I think we both said that was one of our favorite uniforms ever in college football because it was Army and it worked for them. It doesn't work for Oklahoma State. It doesn't work for whoever else has done it. You know, South Carolina. I guess Virginia Tech, you could make the argument they've got an ROTC program. But come on, Army, Navy, Air Force, that's where the stuff needs to be, and everybody else needs to leave it alone.
All right, we're kind of talking about it in chat, but before we get out of the trends, I do have to give a dishonorable mention to pink. Considering how much it was used this year in college football and how any time those teams wore pink could have been a mention for our worst one-off. Whenever Toledo did it, whenever Tulane did it, it's bad and it needs to go away just as much as the camo stuff goes. We'll be right back. join us at this time. He was one of the co-owners, one of the co-runners of the Gridiron Uniform Database. It is Mr. Tim Bruglia. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me, guys.
Getting into about your site, how did it start? What were the...
Okay. Well, without getting too long in the tooth on it, some years ago there was a website up that was called Football Uniforms Past and Present. And it kind of hit the doldrums roughly about 8 or 9 years ago. And at that time, I don't have really any web building skills at all, but I wanted to continue to research to get into in-depth. You know, obviously, a couple of inspirations were the Mark Ockenden book of dress of the baseball uniforms of the 20th century, which has since evolved into the Dress to the Nines website, and Andrew Greenstein, who came out with the NHLUniforms.com website. So, again, not having the skills, I kind of had all this information, did all this research going back to 1933, and after a while, you kind of got, you know, I got all this stuff, but nowhere to put it. So basically, I contacted Paul Lucas out of the UniWatch website, see if he could run maybe a, you know, feature article on what I have done, what I did, and, you know, maybe he could, I could use his site to maybe as a call out to somebody who could maybe do the, you know, the graphics for what I had. Because what I fed him was a descriptive of all the teams from 1933 to 1958. The reason it only went to 58 was because in the FUPP site started in 1959 and worked its way to the present. So after several months of some leads that kind of didn't really go anywhere, I was able to make contact with Bill Schaefer. Apparently he is a school teacher by trade, so he spent that whole summer of 2009 doing up what based on the descriptions that I had. So there was part two of our triumvirate, if you will. So we had him, Bill worked on the graphics, he and I really got into it, making sure everything was pinpoint perfect as far as what I had envisioned and what he was able to pull up as a graphics. And so we again sought UniWatch for some help in finding a webmaster, and we were able to get in touch with Rob Haleko, was able to pull all the stuff together. We brought it up to the present time at that time, which would have been, I think, after the 2010 season. And we finally did go live in June of 2012, last year. Actually, no, June of 2011. So we've been live since then. We, of course, have brought the site current with the 2011 season. And, of course, as we go through the course of this season, we are updating it as the season progresses, and that's where we are.
Were you involved with the football uniforms past or present, or were you just a fan?
Well, I was a fan, but I also was involved in trying to, you know, make some of the revisions that needed to be made on there. I was a fan of the site, but I'm sort of a contributor, but not to the point that, you know, I wanted to be. So, because the site, no disrespect to the administrator of the site who had it up, because he actually went through all of the original artwork. But there were definitely a lot of changes that need to be made, a lot of revisions, a lot of, you know, seasons where he had the uniform that was actually worn the previous year, but not, you know, for that season, as an example. He missed it when the change occurred. So I did help a lot, but, you know, unfortunately, I guess he ran into some personal issues in the site, kind of like, became dormant.
Tim, if I could ask you real quick, with us, we all tell the story of how we got into uniforms in the first place. What was the spark or the inspiration that got you headed in a direction where we end up with the Gridiron Uniform Database?
Well, that's a good question. I basically, since I was a kid first following football and baseball for that matter, and to a lesser extent basketball, and then later on hockey, I've always just found the uniforms appealing to me. I always like to look and see. I love the colors. I love all the bright colors of football uniforms. Baseball, not so much the colors, but, you know, the ball caps always were an appeal to me. And, of course, the hockey outfits were a real big, you know, I noticed every change that the teams made. I think in the day, and, of course, like I say, I'm I'm in my 50s, so I have some years going back here. And but every little change, I was very intrigued by. I was always, you know, the following season, there was no uniform unveilings in those days. In fact, unless you had a Sears Christmas catalog, you really didn't know anything about any upcoming changes with the NFL. And with hockey and baseball and football, really, you didn't notice anything until they wore them, you know, out on the field of play. And that's how I monitored it. And probably what really got me to spark to dream of a uniform database for football was, like I said previously, Mark Ockenden's Baseball Uniforms of the 20th Century was a hardcover book that came out, I believe, in 1990. I scooped it right up when I saw it at the first, and I couldn't put that book down for weeks because Ockenden detailed each team's uniform since 1900 in the book. He detailed on a year-by-year basis and on a team-by-team basis, which was, you know, a tremendous, you know, treat for me. I really enjoyed that. And then I stumbled upon Andrew Greenstein's NHL uniform site right around the 2000-2001 era. He started that. And likewise with what would happen with the football uniform site, I did get in touch with Andrew as well on, you know, things that could be tweaked or things that needed to be fixed because, you know, this was sort of my expertise. And fortunately, he was able to, accept what I had given him and showed him some proof of the changes that needed to be. Because when you're going to put out a website like this, it's all about accuracy. You want to get every last detail right for each and every team, for each and every season.
And that leads to my follow-up question. Are you surprised, or were you surprised to find there is an entire community of people like you, like us, that are just into the sports aesthetic?
Actually, yes and no. Yes, because, you know, the internet, of course, you know, seeing it evolve as I have, and, you know, probably maybe you guys as well, has opened up incredible avenues of communication with others who have a like and similar interest in whatever, whether it be, you know, football, you know, the sports aesthetics, as you say, or, you know, road signs or, you know, license plates, what have you. You know, it is a surprise that there are that many. I mean, I see, you know, Chris Kramer's site and how massive his forum has become now. It's just become almost, like you say, a community. There's a tremendous community for that sort of information. And it's actually pleasing. You know, I'm no longer considered a uniform dork because, you know, there's tons of us out there. So, you know, I guess it's one of those dorks of the world unite. And, you know, I'm pleased to be one of them.
With the site growing and everything, have you reached out to the teams for any stuff that you can't find any information on? And in that situation, how have the teams been very forward about it, or has there been any opposition?
Well, really, no, I have not. To answer your first question, I have not really reached out to any of the teams. I like to do this independent of the teams, and I'll kind of tell you a reason why, because a lot of the teams themselves, especially the older teams, probably don't have, they have a sense of their history, but maybe not that deep of a grasp of their history, where, you know, some of these teams probably aren't, you know, accurate with when did the Bears wear orange jerseys, as an example. You know, I guess one good example was the, you know, the Steelers throwbacks that they wore this year. I never, like I said, I did not get in touch with them. I thought about it, but I did not. I'm not sure if there's that little hesitation here. I just want to keep myself at arm's length or whatever. But, you know, doing my own research, as I had done, you know, we found out, of course, that the Pirates, as they were called originally, actually wore that jersey. We can only determine that they wore that jersey once, where they kept promoting that this jersey was actually worn in 1934. The only real proof that we have of that is that it was worn for a team photograph prior to the 1934 regular season. So it's because of situations like that that I am hesitant to get in touch directly with, let's say, the PR departments of those teams, kind of liking to work independent of them. And, you know, to follow up your second question, I've really not heard from any of the teams themselves and as far as, you know, our website. I had been contacted by NFL Films for, you know, maybe the possibility of, you know, talking about teams' uniforms history. But that was about the closest I got to anyone at the NFL or any of its member clubs.
Basically, in this situation, let's say you want to try and find something from even like the 40s, something that comes up that you're not real sure about. How would you go about verifying it? Because obviously there's so much stuff on the internet, but there's certainly not everything. Do you go to like old newspapers? Do you have sources that you can kind of go to that will have some more information for you? Or is it just kind of a mix of everything?
Well, it's a good question. And actually it is a little bit of a mix of everything, but the key thing that I do hone in on are the old newspapers from, you know, microfilm. Now that does involve a lot of digging, but best place for me to find that information is going to the Library of Congress. But the Library of Congress is for me probably the best place. I live in Enola, PA, which is about a 2.5 hour drive from Washington D.C. from here, so it's rather convenient. I try to go down there several times a year, and the bulk of my research for the non-big market teams like the non-LAs, Chicago's, or New York's has been going to the Library of Congress, and I've made a tremendous amount of usage for there. So if somebody says, hey, the Cleveland Rams wore this uniform in 1942 as an example, you don't have it on your website, but I can totally verify it that this is what they wore. You know, I do want to make sure that he is telling me the truth. So on my next trip down, if he can shoot me a picture of what he has, I will go down there and verify it through maybe the microfilm of the Cleveland Plain Dealer or the Cleveland Press or what have you. As long as I can find a pretty definitive photograph from that supposed game that they played, and if it is true, we'll make that change.
What has been your favorite or your most surprising find in doing some of this research?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's you're so focused on looking through all of this. Probably one of them might be the New York Giants in 1934. And again, going way back, I had been led to believe that they played the Chicago Bears in a sneaker game, as they call it. They were way behind. The Bears controlled the game, and then the Giants went and put on outfitted the team in sneakers on this very treacherous field at the Polo Grounds. And for ages, these uniforms have been documented to be blue. But looking through a New York Times write-up of maybe not so much that game, but a game they had played earlier in the season against the Bears, sometimes you do have to go through the written article. And it did say that the Giants wore red jerseys. And everywhere else, it's been documented that these jerseys were blue. And I verified it by reading another article from another game later in that season that these indeed were red jerseys. Yet the Giants themselves, I think, even on the cover of their media guide this year, shows that jersey to be blue when, in fact, it actually was red. And so that's been a surprising find to me. Things like that. Probably one of my most thrilling things was trying to identify a patch that the Pittsburgh Steelers wore in 1959. Never found any detail on it. But, you know, when you're determined to try and discover what exactly that patch was, you'll find it. And eventually I did. Some decent pictures showed up, and we were able to reproduce that patch for 1959 that the Steelers wore. One of the first teams actually to wear a commemorative patch on their uniforms. We haven't seen that until the explosion probably came in sometime during the 80s with commemorative patches for, you know, players, coaches, owners, and what have you. And, of course, that continues right up to the present. But those are probably some of my surprising finds that I can relate to you.
When all the pictures provided were black and white, did you have to like read around to make sure you had the right colors, or did you end up having to like guess on the colors of like a jersey from like 1920?
Right, that's a really good question. I think that Color Works, Donovan Moore, who is a frequent contributor to the Chris Kramer website, because he is the color authority. We've used his patches and swatches, if you will, for the colors of teams that go way, way back, in particular the 20s and the 30s. There's also been, Pro Football Researchers Association did a study on what the colors were of most of these teams. But when you go back in time a lot further, you know, reds and blues get very muddy. You can't really tell them apart in a black and white picture. But ironically enough, when you go really far back in time, again, I don't know how, you know, black and white film was reproduced in the newspapers and what have you. But you will find, and in fact, I contributed to UniWatch. We did a segment on that about how the colors can kind of play tricks on you. If you look at some of the old hockey pictures is a good example of, let's say, a guy playing for the Montreal Canadiens, you'll notice that that red sweater looks black almost, and the blue band that surrounds the chest area is very pale by comparison, because basically red, I guess, somehow when the film was developed showed up very dark. And the blues came out very light, completely the opposite of what they would normally appear to the color-filled eye of you and I. So I took that into consideration with some of the pictures from the 20s, where the reds will show up very dark, blues will show up very light. And yes, these are educated guesses, because let's face it, I don't think we'll ever come across any color pictures from the 1920s of these teams. So the best thing we can do is just make these educated guesses based on, you know, the science of black and white photography and how it worked at that time. And, or if we see an actual uniform or an actual jersey that has survived all those years. And then, of course, we have to take into account fading of the materials as well. So some of that, I have to admit, is a bit of an educated guess. But I think anything that survived from then, we can do it with a fair amount of confidence.
One thing I like about the site is all the uniforms are basically a consistent template. You've seen all the other uniform databases, and there always seems to be like a year where it just changes completely just the style they use. And that's one of the things I applaud, because basically all the same look, and you can tell it's done by the same designer basically at the same time. And I think that's one thing that makes it so professional looking, is that it's all just the same and it's just consistent.
Right. And I think it is a site of uniform, so you want to be uniform, no pun intended. Actually it is, but that's what we're looking for too. You want to have that you can compare, let's say, what the New York Giants wore in 1927, the first year they won a championship, to let's say last year, and then maybe in between, to see how the team's uniform evolved. And, you know, obviously we pinpoint the changes in the helmets, obviously, from leather to, you know, in fact, this year we have the Riddell Revolution, using that as a template, simply because that coincided with the changeover to Nike for the jerseys and pants for this year. So we do try to maintain that sense of uniformity through the years, even though, of course, uniforms of 2012 are so vastly different from the uniforms of, let's say, 90 years ago, 1922. And I thank you for that. And I on behalf of Bill Schaefer, because he's the guy who does do the templates for the jerseys.
Is there anything that really just kind of annoys you more than poorly colorized photos?
Well, yeah, I think doctored photos are something that does annoy me. I kind of understand it, but it is annoying. You know, some of the newspapers, you do have to take with a grain of salt. They have doctored pictures up a little bit. Also, maybe color photos in particular, there might be some from the 50s where you're not sure if that's the right tint or not. I mean, the Detroit Lions might be one of the prime examples of that. We've seen them in Honolulu blue, which has been their standard since they became the Lions in 1934. But I've seen them be darker. I've seen them almost be almost like a straight blue. I've seen them almost in a powder blue. And trying to get those years right. The Dolphins are another team. In fact, even a few few weeks ago, they played a Thursday night game against the Bills, and they were wearing their aqua jerseys. This is a good example. My TV, and I have a decent high def TV. I'm not, you know, I don't have this monster 60 inch. I have about a 33 inch Sony. And my golly, that looked so like seafoam green, like I never saw it before. I'm like, what happened here? And it looked that way that whole night. And then I looked at the Getty Images pictures from the game, and it looked like the normal aqua. So those are things we have to kind of look at, too, and keep our eyes on, you know, to try and get that right shade of aqua, the right shade of Honolulu, the right shade of powder blue, et cetera. So that's kind of what is a little frustrating when you do these things.
Obviously, if you go to the site, the uniformdatabases.com, across the top in the banner, coming soon, uniformdatabases.com, although the main site is the Gridiron Uniform Database. So what is coming next for the site?
Well, that's actually a question Rob Holeko would be better to answer. He's actually, I think, he's trying to do up what is known as the Basketball Uniform Database, which is probably the last sport that really has not had a true definitive database of historical uniforms. So he's working with a few other fellows on that. I'm not involved with that. So he might be, I think that's what's coming up there. He also has something called the Diamond Uniform Database, where he's going to be showing all the different uniform combinations that have been worn during the course of certain baseball seasons. Again, I'm not real privy to that. But from our own end for Gridiron Uniforms, we are looking to possibly do some things in 2013. For sure, we want to definitely increase the uniform matchups where you can see, you can take a game from, let's say, 1985 and say, what did it look like when the Jets played at Buffalo that year? You know, so we'll match that up so you can see what the Jets wore and what the Bills wore. And we're trying to build on that. That's a monumental task that we're looking to do, but we do want to do that through the coming years. We're also, this is something I got to work with Bill Schaefer on, since, again, he's our graphic guy. We may possibly do the evolution of the game officials' uniforms in graphics. And to my knowledge, we would be the very first website of our kind to do something like that. And I guess they're overlooked, obviously. You know, nobody really seems to pay attention to what the game officials wear, but we do. And we're going to try and establish that and go through the entire history of what the officials wore throughout the history of the NFL and as well as the AFL and the All-America Conference.
Yeah, as you mentioned, that's definitely something that I've never seen pretty much anywhere. I mean, even on, like, the more design specific stuff, you don't see a lot on UniWatch or on like the Creamer boards or anything like that on that. So that should definitely be really interesting.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And I'm thinking we could have that up sometime during the course of the year. We also would like to dig deeper in the 1920s and the 30s, the 1920 to 1932 era, which is where there is just so much missing information. I'm planning to hone in my focus on my research for next year to try and dig out more of those uniforms and put them on the website. As you can obviously see, from 1920 to, I think, 30, we have some gaps in there, and we're trying to fill those. I don't know if we'll ever completely fill those, but those are gaps that we definitely want to, you know, close up, you know, and fill in it as much as possible.
All right, Tim. Every week at the end of the show, we talk about our three favorite NFL matchups of the week. Do you want to stay on and do that with us?
I could do that, yes.
All right. So, okay, we'll put a break in here and we'll be right back. Okay, it's top three time. Following up with the interview, Tim is staying with us. He's going to go ahead and talk about his favorite looks of the week alongside with the rest of us. But Mike, to kind of give him an idea of how it's going to go, why don't you go first?
All right. My top three, going off the board a little bit with one of them, Jaguars, Dolphins at number three. Like Greg has been saying, the Jaguars don't look bad, and they just have a bad reputation. But I think that looked good paired up with the Miami Stormtroopers look. Number two was the Sunday night game, which was San Francisco, New England. New England looked pretty good in their navy, and San Francisco is one of the best looks in the league. So they definitely helped out that matchup. And my number one is just complete NFL history, best looking, one of the best looking rivalries in the game. And that's Steelers Cowboys. I just love the way both uniforms, well, the Cowboys, they have some color problems, but paired up against a really good looking uniform set like the Steelers, I think that game looked really good.
All right. I was just going to ask Tim if he wanted to go ahead and take next as the guest.
Okay. You know, I actually do uniform rankings on a week-by-week basis on our blog. So, but I always use the disclaimer that what I say on the blog when I'm actually typing it up is how I feel at that specific point in time. It could change from week to week or even from day to day or even hour to hour. But I will do my best on this. I'm going to go with my number three right now. I'm going to say the Seahawks and the Bills. And the reason for that is we rarely see what we call a color-on-color matchup. And I know it's basically a light against a dark, but still it is a color-on-color matchup. And I think it works. I think the Seahawks, wolf gray, I just want to call it gray. I mean, but if you want to put wolf in there, that's fine. I like it. I am a fan of the Seahawks uniforms this year. The only thing I don't like is going from that very unique color of blue to the navy. But it works well, and it's not. It might be a little busy, but bringing out a straight gray uniform is something we haven't seen in the NFL, and I don't know when. And I like that for that purpose. And the Bills, I love that blue shade. I think it just works perfectly, playing off the white helmet and the white pants, even though I'm not a big white helmet fan, but I do like that. My second one, I'm going to go with the Redskins and the Browns. And the reason for that, I'm a big fan of the Redskins yellow pants. I just wish the striping with the pants and the socks would be a little more consistent. It's a hodgepodge of striping. But the colors themselves, and this is what I'm always after, I like a lot of color. Got burgundy, you've got yellow, you've got brown, you've got orange, all at work here, and they do it very well. And it's so good to see the Browns wear brown at home. I'm just a huge fan of that. My number one, I have to concur. I'm going to go with probably the not the Steelers and Cowboys. I'm going to go with the Packers and the Bears as my number one. I've always been a huge fan of the Packer look. I just love it. I like that green. I like the yellow. The Bears, I like. I would have kept the C on, though. I would have. I know they didn't wear, obviously, logos in the 40s and on all that. But as well as you can, the jersey, the pants, the socks, basically almost exactly what they looked like in the mid-40s when they were tearing up the NFL as the monsters of the Midway. So, of course, that's the geezer in me probably liking the Bears uniform, but I like it. I like it. And like I said, I've always been a fan of the Packers. So that's my top three.
Greg, why don't you take next?
Okay. For me, it was we're going to get a lot of repeats here. At number three, I had Redskins and Browns for a lot of the reasons that Tim just brought up. He said it better than I ever could. It's a great-looking matchup. A lot of good colors that work with each other there. And I'm with him. The Redskins color scheme, while the striping's got some issues, you just can't argue with how good those gold pants look. At number two, I have Colts at Texans, the Colts in their classic white road jerseys, and the Texans at home with their the dark blue jerseys and the white pants, and one of the best modern looks in all of football. And at number one, I went the traditional route too, but instead of going Steelers and Cowboys, I went AFL days, Chiefs, Raiders, Chiefs in the white with the red pants, and the Raiders in one of the best looks in all of professional football. So that's my top three.
And I'm never letting you go in front of me again, Greg.
Why, did I just steal your whole list?
You just stole my whole list. The only difference was I had Colts Texans at three and then Redskins Browns at two. But yeah, Colts Texans, a really good match between a very traditional team and a more modern team. Both have these really iconic helmets already, even for the Texans. But, I mean, there's just the splashes of color with the red and everything and a really well-done logo. For two, it was the Redskins and the Browns, just a lot of color really working out here. I know in the past I'm not the biggest fan of the Browns set. That's not to say it can't look good in the right situations, and I think it does here. And then number one, yeah, of course, it was number one last time they played. It'll be number one next time they play. It'll be number one, assuming they don't screw it up, at 10 years from now if we're still doing the show. And that is the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, my thought was whenever nobody had mentioned Texans-Colts through the first two, it's like, you know what? Do you mention repeats? But then I'm going to be able to drop one that no one's even said. All right, Tim. Thank you for staying by.
Sure.
All right.
I appreciate you having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Tim.
Take care and happy holidays to you guys.
All right. You too, man.
Same to you.
All right.
All right. That was Tim Brilla from the Gridiron Uniform Database. Stayed around and did our top three. I figured if there was ever a guest to ask to stay on, all things considered, it would be him.
And he really got it right. He knew how to do it.
So that's been our show for the week. We had a lot of stuff this week, in addition to our year end and everything. And you know what? I usually don't like to make announcements until they are officially 100% date and time confirmed in the books. But I'm gonna go ahead and let this drop for our very first show after the end of the year. Our very first show on SportsLogos.net. We will be talking to the guys from Brandios. I can't speak for the other two guys, but I'm a little excited about this one.
That's a nice get, and it's a nice way to get started with our new partnership over at sportslogos.net, the guys from Brandios, so that should be a big one.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
That's what's coming next for us. Greg, I figured I'd let you mention, just this week you kind of got started. What are you going to be doing in relation to that?
Okay, a couple of things I'm going to be doing. I will be writing for sportslogos.net here in the near future. I've got a good article on the St. Louis Rams that I am working on. We're just working out a few of the details on that. And I want to remind everyone that when we make the shift over to sportslogos.net, we will be adding a new series called the LogoCast Interviews, where we will go back through all 20 episodes of the show, and we're going to cut out just the interview portions with people like Paul Lucas and Chris Bazin and Eric Davila, and you'll be able to hear those in their entirety without having to hear the entire show, so that you're not listening to news that's outdated and things that happened, you know, 8-10 months ago. So look forward to that, too, the LogoCast interviews. And, again, hopefully I'll have my first article up on sportslogos.net here in the next couple of days.
So, guys, I mean, just before we get out of here, we got to think about it. We've done 20 episodes. We've been doing this for about 6-7 months now. We're about to be affiliated with one of the biggest sports design sites on the internet. I don't know what the page view competition is between it and UniWatch, but I'm pretty sure it's 1-2, whichever way you describe it. Who would have thought it? You know, and on our very first episode on our new site, we're going to have Brandios, which was one of the host's dream guests whenever we first got this thing off the ground.
Well, I can tell you who would have thought it. I got to give my girlfriend props for this. From the very first show, she said, I have a good feeling about this thing. This thing's going to be big. And so far.
All right. So we definitely want to thank Tim. And we want to, once again, just let you guys know, the next episode will be on sportslogos.net. For Greg and Mike, I am Michael. And we'll see you next time. Have a good 2 weeks, Internet. Have a nice holidays.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a great holiday. And go Packers.
What Greg said, but go Bucks.
Go Patriots, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Try again.